Blog Talk Radio.
We give God glory this morning. How many want to ask the Lord that, Lord, send me, I'll go? Can you put your hands together and give God glory?
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Evangelist Penny Mitchell, and she's going to be on our show tonight as our featured guest tonight, along with assistant co-host Miss Anna Holiday. How are you ladies doing tonight?
Good evening. Fine.
Great. I'm great myself. And ladies and gentlemen, Miss Penny Mitchell is an evangelist. And she's from Bogalusa, Louisiana. She's a creative lyricist and gospel recording artist. And as a child, Penny lived with her grandmother, who introduced her to gospel singing at Country Church, located in Bogalusa, Louisiana. Penny, at the age of 5 in Bogalusa, along with her siblings, were relocated to New York City to live with her mother, which eventually included her grandmother a year later. Penny began attending a small Pentecostal church near their home every Sunday. She joined the choir and never knew she had a gift of singing until one day the choir director gave her the mic. Her first solo in the choir was an anointing experience for her. She made a vow to the Lord from that day that would change her life forever. After that choir experience and being taken all over the city of New York, her singing career began. Penny, now at 8 years old, appeared on Amateur Night, a very popular show on TV, the Apollo Theater, and was voted as the Amateur Night winner. Penny, at 12 years of age, recorded her first album. She auditioned for Sunday's Best and was background singer for many gospel artists. As years passed, Penny became an evangelist at age 35 and an ordained pastor at age 50. Her talent to perform songs from numerous churches, prolific gospel shows, for praise and worship spiraled in her life, thus making her dream to be heard worldwide and win souls for Christ with her music, a reality, a dream becoming true. So thank you, Penny, for calling into the show tonight. How are you doing?
Praise the Lord. How are you doing? Can y'all hear me good?
Yeah. We can hear you. We also have Miss Anna Holiday, Miss Anna Marie Holiday, another recording artist on the phone. And we're gonna get busy with questions and everything. I'm a little bit under the weather. My asthma's kind of kicking in on me, so we're gonna get busy and start introducing some questions to you. So I'm going to give that mic to Anna. Anna?
First of all, thank you so much for joining us on tonight. My first question is it just gospel that you sing? And if not, how do you individually make a decision on what music that you will sing, and how do you, in a Christian way, reject music that you might not choose to sing without offending others?
Is that a question for me?
Yes,
ma'am.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. At an early age, when I was around old enough to understand, my grandmother told me, she said to me one time, I think I was probably about 17, 18, maybe around that age, and when I got up in age old enough to understand what gospel music really was about, who God really was, because at a young age, I didn't even know God. I was singing, but I didn't know who he was. I didn't even know I was anointed. I didn't know what the anointing was. I just was singing. God was using me, and I just knew something was happening to me. I just knew people was, falling out and getting saved and delivered through my singing. But I just, at a younger age, I didn't know. But I knew that it was something about, when I got up in age to learn what the anointing, I knew it was something about the anointing that was on my life that was to sing for the Lord. Because I tried to do secular music. I tried to sing, maybe a few times in a few nightclubs, but not nothing major. I have sung in a nightclub, and I noticed even when I tried to sing in a nightclub, the anointing was on me in the nightclub. People started crying in the nightclub. I mean, so it was obviously, I knew at an early age that it's gospel music is, it just, for me, that's what God called me to do, is sing and win souls. So I don't know if I can even try to. I have sung at weddings and different music, but it always seems that when I do sing, even if I try to sing an R&B song, it comes out gospel. So it's kind of hard for me to switch over, so I kind of stick with what God want me to do.
Amen. That's beautiful.
Yes, amen.
I was so blessed for your song. I think it was played on last week or earlier this week on the show. Send me, Laura, mm-hmm. I will go. How do you make decisions where to go concerning, because you said you're a pastor and I, concerning your music, how do you accept the invitations as far as listening to the Lord's voice?
Well, the way I do it, I think for me, I don't know about everybody, when I want to hear God's voice, I shut everybody else's voice out. I get to myself, I get in my room, I get in a quiet place. And I do that a lot. I don't watch TV more than I meditate, because I may cut the TV on and I cut it right back off. I cut it on and cut it back off, because a lot of times I am hearing from God throughout the day. Even if I'm in the kitchen cooking, God is talking to me. And sometimes, but for it to really get get with you quietly. Sometimes you have to get to yourself. You have to shut everything out, everybody off, turn your plate down. Sometimes you have to just ask and pray and ask God to show you and talk to you, you know. And I know some people ask me all the time, well, how do you know it's God's voice? Well, God's voice is very calm, it's a difference than other voices, you know. And sometimes God comes suddenly. His voice don't, you know, sometimes you may pray to God and ask him for it. He don't give you the answer always right away. Sometimes it'll be a week, 2 weeks, a month, but he will give you the answer on time when you need it. And I just meditate. I just do a lot of meditation. I stay in my room a lot, and I kind of stay to myself. You know, I talk to people, but you know, I'm a loner type person. You know, I don't do a lot of mingling with everybody. You know, and sometimes when you anoint it like that, you have to protect your anointing. You can't be around everybody. It's kind of hard to trust people when you anoint it because you don't know who to trust. People, a lot of times, they just want to hang around you because of your future. They know that you're going somewhere, and they just want to hang in it out. They don't really care about you. They just want to hang around for whatever, you know. And I'm not saying everybody, but you know, when you have a gift of discernment, you could determine who's who. And so for me, that's how I hear from God. I turn my plate down, I talk to God, and I said, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need an answer. I need to know. When you say, Lord, I'll go, send me, that's something that you got to really take serious. Because remember, when you say, Lord, I'll go, send me, you got to be ready for the journey. Because there's some things you're going to lose. There's some friends you're going to lose. Oh, my God. You're going to have to take on a lot when you say.
Exactly. Penny. Thank you for the answers too, Penny. Great question, by the way, Anna. And I'd like to also give a shout out before I ask you this question to our co-host, Ms. PJ Sampson, who is kind of under the weather, I believe. But anyway, hello, PJ, and I hope that you're getting better. Penny, I'd like to ask you, what inspired you to write that song, I'll Go? Connections again. Penny, are you there?
Yeah, my phone jumped off. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to write that song and to sing that song, I'll Go?
Well, I didn't actually write it. It was written by somebody else. I just got permission to do it over. It's the second verse where it says, the second part of the song, I wrote that part. Where it said, Lord, why did you call me? Why, Lord? Because at that time when I wrote that song, I think I was going through something. And the Lord said, you know, and I began to sing it over the phone to my musician. And I said, I want to record this song. She said, well, you know, we're going to have to give. So we got permission because actually the person that wrote the song, they died many, many years ago. So it was okay because the person that wrote it, they if they would live today, they'd probably be 100 years old. So all I did was added a verse to the song because it's an actual song that a lot of people have sung, but not a lot of recording on that song. So I just decided, I said, you know what, I want to go in here and record it. And I woke up like about 12 o'clock at night, and I was going through something. I don't remember what it was, but I knew I was going through something in my family. And I just began to sing it in the bed. You know, I was laying down, I was singing it, and it just, the Lord said, record this song. And I'm like, okay. So the next morning I got up and I called my musician and I said, I want to record this song. And I just started singing it to her over the song. She knew the song already, but I just want her to hear my version of it. And she said, yes, we got to do this. And we got in the day we got in the studio, the very day that we got in the studio, we wrote the second verse. We hadn't wrote no verse until we got in the studio. We didn't even know how the song was going to come out. We just got there. We wrote a verse real quick. It was like 10 minutes. We wrote the verse. And I said, I don't understand, Lord, why you call me? Like, you know, why me? You know, and she said, well, write that. And I said, yeah, why did God call? She said, write it. And I wrote it, and I sung it, and that was it. And we didn't rehearse nothing. We just did it 1, 2, 3. We recorded that song probably in an hour, the most. And so the anointing just fell. The anointing, the power of God just fell right in the studio. We both went up. Even the engineer that was, the studio we was in was a really big studio. It was a major studio. And the guy that was there, he was looking at us like, you know, it's like he was mesmerized because the anointing was so in the studio. And he was just in a state of shock. Like, he didn't know what to say. But we was crying. We was praising God. And we just started praising. Then I just began to sing. Because I don't know if you can tell when I was singing, I had just finished crying. So my voice didn't come out as good as I wanted because I was crying before I started singing. I was praising God. As soon as she started playing the Hammond organ, I just went up in tears. I don't know what, I mean, the anointing just fell on me. We just started praising God, both of us. And I said, well, I got to go ahead and sing this song, even though my voice ain't coming out right now because I was crying. So my voice wasn't where I wanted to be. But I just sung it anyway.
That's wonderful because your creative space inside of your mind is where you go to talk to God. And everybody has, I mean, people need to understand that, you know, everyone hears God in a different voice, but when he does talk or speak to you, everyone listens because of the fact that this is something, this message is for you. And so for you to include that in your life, tell us about how you anoint other people. You said through your music, why do you feel that it anoints other people?
Well, it's something that it's a connection you have with the people. And I tell anybody that sings, because a lot of people call me and they say, how do you do that? Because a lot of people have said to me, it's like evangelism, when you open up your mouth and sing in front of people, because a lot of people, they hear me sing openly in the church and everywhere. They say, you know, as soon as you open your mouth, it's like the anointing falls out. And I said, well, it's because I connect with the people. You know, I don't sing for show. I have a heart for people, you know. And I think when God calls us to do something, we supposed to have godly feelings, and we supposed to connect with God and on the behalf of people, and we supposed to, you know, the God in us supposed to stand up, not us. We shouldn't want to be seen. I do it for the glory of God because I want people's heart to be touched when I sing. So one thing I've learned, if you don't feel your singing, everybody else not going to feel it. Some people just sing to be singing. If you don't feel it, ain't nobody not going to feel anything. And I tell my daughter that because she sings. And I tell her, don't just sing with your mouth. Sing with your heart and your soul. You know, sing with your mind. You know, sing with God on your mind. Don't just sing because you're trying to make somebody shout. No, sing because you see the heart of people out there. You see people that's hurting. When I look at the people in the audience, I see hurting people. I see people that need to be fed through singing ministry. And that's what I see. I don't see me as a singer and I'm trying to impress anybody. That's not the type of person I am. I want God to get the glory out of my life. So that's what I see as a singer.
Anna, do you have any questions? We're going to get ready to go into break.
You kind of hit on it. I was going to ask you about, thank God, first of all, for grandmothers, you know. Our days, those were, you know, I call the true grandmothers. You didn't have a church and do what was said and to sing and to have a relationship with the Lord. So thank God for grandmothers. Mm-hmm. But you hit on something that was very important about not sharing God's glory, you know, and about giving him, you know, giving him what's his, and because he shares his glory with no one. And how did you get that? You know, we're living in a different age time today. How do you get that through the young people today? Because, you know, nothing's new under the sun, but because they're so fast in what they catch on to, and sometimes
right.
that leads to being hot-headed. How do you talk to them about the talent that they have and getting them to understand that it is God that gave them that talent and not to take away from God, but to – so if you could elaborate on that some.
That's so true, because we live in like you said, in different time zones and different times and different generations. I hear so many people sing a lot, and I hear a lot. There's such a difference in the music today. And there's times I want to just shake them. You don't know. I want to shake them and say they're talented.
Mm.
But they don't have the recognition of who God really is. Yes, they have talent. They can sing. They can tear the roof off the top. But my thing is, and what I tell any young person, put God in it, though. Where's God? Where is he? I mean, yes, you can sing. You can move fast. You can bop. You can do all you can do all the riffs, and your voice is just wonderful. But don't deny the power. Don't deny the power. And I just tell them, I'm just real blunt.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them say, how did I do, Evangelist? How did I sing today? You sung wonderful. But I want you to give God the glory. And a lot of people don't have that connection with God. They have a gift, because the Bible says gift come without repentance. They're gifted, but they have no power. They have the form of godliness. It is no power. And I find that that's going on in this society today, in the body of Christ. And it's very scary. You know, and it's hard. It is, like you said, how do you get a message across to the young people without them getting the attitude, without them leaving the church? That's a good question. That's something I've been praying about for a long time. How can we connect to our young people? And that's something I've been asking God to give me a message or give me a revelation how to handle the younger generation of singers that come to me and ask me questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hurt their feelings. And I don't want to say don't sing. No, sing. But I want you to let God get the glory out of your life so that when you sing, you're glorifying him and not yourself. You're not edifying yourself.
Exactly.
Because I see that so much in the young people today, even in praise and worship. Praise and worship is just hype now, but it's no glory in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's real hype that the new sounds that's on the radio, all that's great, but there's no glory. Where is the anointing? Where is the presence of God? That's what we're dealing with today, today's singers, and that's the truth.
Exactly.
That's a good question that you asked.
That's a very good question.
Thank you.
You know, Penny, I have to ask this because once upon a time in my life, I was kind of, and I did say I was going into break, but I'm going to pause that for a moment. And once upon
mm-hmm.
a time in my life, you know, I was, you know, very concerned about society as far as women
mm-hmm.
or evangelists or pastors or reverends or whatever. But I think that the calling comes, and you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I believe
mm-hmm.
that you are called to preach without apology the salvation of the scriptures. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're reminded about that a lot in Timothy. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
in that power of the spoken scriptures is enough to bring down anything. So
right.
the power of the scriptures, is it strong enough? Is it really strong enough to change all of these youth that, like you were talking about a moment, how can you as an evangelist bring down the strongholds of the enigmas of their uncertainty, their negativism? How can you do that? How can you help to change them? Is that hard to do?
I can't do it. Only with God I can. Because I'm getting ready to go into pastoring again. I'm getting ready to open my church up in June.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told me, and I was telling somebody yesterday, matter of fact, I said, this ministry that Lord is birthing, out of me, I believe it will not be church as usual. The choir singing, the choir marching down the aisle, shouting and jumping, running all around the church, won't be church as usual. God is birthing up He's birthing up some new preachers,
right,
bringing them out the woodworks that nobody never heard. Because not saying some of the ones that's out there is not doing what God said do, but a lot of them have not done the will of God. I'll put it like that. I don't put names out because I don't bust the gospel. I don't talk about pastors and preachers and all over the red. You know, I don't do that. I pray for them. But God is I believe he's raising up a new generation of preachers that's going to get the job done. Because if you look on the TV, the job is not being done like it's supposed to have been done many, many years ago. Church is what it's supposed is not what it's supposed to be. I hate to say that, but this is what God has been showing me.
Amen.
And the reason why we're not connecting with the young people today, because the church, the body of Christ, is not standing up and doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah,
I believe even the government, because the Bible say, if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek his face. So when he said, if my people, what that say? He got a people set aside. Where are they? Where are the people that God has said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from what? Their wicked ways. He didn't say the world.
Right.
He said, their other words, our wicked ways. I'm going to put myself in there because I'm a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. He said, come on now. He said, he'll hear. Then we'll what? Hear from heaven. And he'll heal our land. But the land is not being healed because the people of God is not doing what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Yes, they're shouting. Yes, they're speaking in tongues. Yes, they're doing all of that. But is it really for God?
Mm-hmm. I agree. And on that
you
note,
got 10,000 members. You got 10,000 members. But are you really doing this for God?
Yes.
Look on the look at all the pastors that I don't mean to cut you off. Y'all don't get me started preaching.
That's okay. Go ahead and preach. I can just stop the commercials altogether. Go ahead and preach it.
No, go ahead.
Hold that thought because I've got to come back, and I'm sure Anna has more questions for you too, but I wanted to give a little bit of information about our assistant co-host, Miss Anna Holiday. Anna Marie Holiday was born in Rochester, New York, and she loves, she's a God-fearing woman with 7 siblings and 5 brothers and 2 sisters, a mother to 3 sons, dedicated to our Lord. Now, she has served at the present time, and she working as a music director, a youth minister, youth adult Sunday school teacher, director over the ushers and greeters committee, and armor bearer. I'm going to play her song, I Worship You. And then after this song, we're going to come back. So stay tuned. Our featured guest tonight is evangelist Penny Mitchell. And we'll be right back after this. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Artist Loft with Gigi Adams-Evans and my assistant co-host tonight, Miss Anna Holiday. Me free.
I'm here. I don't know if you want to call it. Yeah,
a very beautiful song, Anna, and I really appreciate you being a gift to society as well as Evangelist Petty Mitchell. Beautiful voice, beautiful lyrics with so much meaning. I'm going to get back, and I'm going to let Anna jump in also, but I have one other question for you, Evangelist Penny. You know, I've watched the internet, and this little boy, I think he was about maybe, I've seen two kids actually. One was about 4 years old, and it looks like the other one probably was 3 years old. But they were actually, they couldn't talk, you know, as well as we can articulate with each other here or any other time. But when they started to talk about the Bible, it was so awesome because of the fact that these kids, 2 and 3 years old, were preaching. I mean, they had to have been anointed. Have you ever seen anything that miraculous, you know, in your day as you were, you know, going around preaching? And what happens to those children when they do that?
Okay. Again, I'm sorry. I had that cut off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said I was watching. Okay. I was watching some kids on the video on YouTube the other day. And it was, I was just going through some gospel, you know, some background, some, you know, just kids seeing how well they adapt to just Christianity itself, how well they're coming along in life with themselves. And these kids, they could not speak audible words, but they were preaching up something. What happens to these kids? Hold on 1 second. I've got an echo. Can you turn your volume down on your speaker a little?
Thank you. Hold on a second. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, now you said the kids was what again? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. The kids said.
Okay, the kids, I was watching YouTube a couple of days ago, and I saw this, and actually I saw him on Facebook as well. A little Black King was on the show, and he was actually into his ordained pastorship, where he was just preaching and just talking and jumping around and the Holy Ghost. Are these kids trained to do that, or are they just born that way? They feel the Holy Ghost in them, because, you know, our youth today are just outrageously going on the wayside and chaos and everything. And to see this little 4-year-old kid do what he does, what happens with those children?
Well, I think that's a good thing, because if I know when I was coming up, we got church, and we just had church. We played church in the room. My sister was the preacher, and I was the choir, and my brother was the audience. We just had fun. So a lot of children, they mimic what they see their parents do, or whoever, you know, take them to church, and they watch what goes on in church. And a lot of them, and believe it or not, because I watch my grandmother, you know, I watch her life. And so I think a lot of time we take after whatever we see our parents do, you know, especially when it comes to the church, you know. So I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see we have a caller from a 240 exchange. Hello, caller. How are you tonight? Hello, caller.
Did you call that number again? Hello?
240.
Oh, that's my apostle. That's apostle calling.
Okay, would y'all like to ask some questions tonight to Evangelist Mitchell?
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Evangelist Mitchell. This is Apostle Gibbon. And my question is, how do we go about teaching our young kids now? I heard the question that was answered, but I know that our children are modern now, and a lot of them, you know, don't, some don't even go to church, and then, you know, some of the parents are so busy now and their careers and things. So how do we go about training our little ones now?
Well, that's true, because I found out that we are these children today are a rebellious generation, and it's so hard today. It's very difficult than when we was coming up. Kids today are so bored in church. A lot of them are, but then you have some churches that they do have children's church, where they take the children and they do things that they like to do. You know, but this is such a new generation today, and I think they have a lot of peer pressure. Until I know my daughter was telling me a couple of days ago that somebody was saying something about Donald Trump, you know, and they were saying, I don't want to hear Hillary's name in this classroom because she goes to a 97% white school, you know, it's black. And everybody in there is white. Most of they have maybe have 10 blacks out the whole school. So she, she experienced a lot of stuff in that school. But it's a very good school. It's one of the top of the line schools up in Wax. And, you know, a lot of rich kids go there and, you know, stuff like that. But I just want her to go there for her education. But she deals with a lot of that when it comes to godly stuff. Because she, one time she said somebody blurted out, there's no God. This and that, and she said, "No, yes, it is." You know, so a lot of times she don't know what to say. She just keep quiet. But one particular day, that she said that somebody said something about God, and she got a little upset. She was like, "No, there is a God. No, there's a preacher." And she just came out of nowhere because my daughter's very quiet. But she just said, "Ma, I had to say something this time." You know, and so you know, so you got to understand, children are dealing with a lot of stuff that's out in the schools. Spirits that they're around every day, and even though you may teach your child something inside your house, but you got to remember they're going outside in society away from you, and you just got to train them. That's why the Bible says train up a child in the way they may go, you know, because when we train our children a certain way, we instill that in them. Even if they get out there, they got something to come back to. My son got out there. He sold drugs. He did things. But now, guess what? He's playing for two churches. God brought him back, even though he got out there and did what he did. But, hey, one day he woke up and said, you know what? I can't do this. My mama raised me a better way, you know. But we just have to raise him the best hand and pray over that God will bring him back. You got to get out there, you know, because when they get old, you know, they're grown, and there's nothing you can really do. You can still talk to him. Still talk to my son. He's 34, but I still talk to him about, and he's grown out on his own, have his own family. But I still talk to him every other day. I still get on about things. Okay, what are you doing? He said, Mom, I'm grown. I said, I know, but what are you doing? You know, so I still stay on him. We only could do the best we can be. You know, and like I said, you know, instill the best thing. All you can do is just continue to talk to them, continue praying for them, you know, even when they get older. And sometimes when they get older, kids still want your attention. Even though they get grown, they act like they're grown, but they still want your attention.
That's so nice. Thank you so much for that encouragement. And I would say to you, may you continue and continue to be a light and let the Lord lead and guide you in every area. And God bless you.
Amen.
Exactly. All right. To you, Ada.
Thank you. Evangelist, my question is, I was brought up Pentecostal / Church of God in Christ of Holiness. And what is your view on the instrument players, those that are on the worship and praise team. Said you're a pastor. What is your view on the status of their relationship when it comes down to playing at a church, whether the church is Pentecostal, Baptist? What's your view on that? I was brought up in New York, and in the days I was brought up, it's kind of different. Again, I'm going back to the, you know, the old times where it was a certain way that you had to live. And if you have a view on it, how do you not discourage someone that has a talent but yet has not come into that fullness, so to speak?
Before you answer that, I have to ask that you turn your volumes down just a little bit, because I'm getting a real serious echo in the headpiece here. It's bouncing back.
Okay. Can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Am I too low? I'm making sure I'm not too low. Okay.
No, you're good.
Okay. Huh?
You're good.
Okay. Well, when it comes to praise and worship, you're saying that people that's talented, you don't want to hurt their feelings, or what are you saying? I'm trying to figure out.
What if you have someone that's playing the organ, and you're living according to the scriptures, and maybe they have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe in your worship and praise, what do you have a certain standard that you wish that when they come in to play the instruments or worship and praise, or be even a backup singer on your team, what is it? How do you get them to be on the same accord or the same views that you have? Or is that even important?
Yes. Well, I'm glad you asked that, because Apostle Goodman's on the phone, and she could tell you that me and her just had this conversation a couple of days ago about when the church opens up, when the sanctuary, that's the name of our church, the sanctuary outreach ministry, open up, I told her that led me, and this is only God, that everybody that's going to be a physician, you have to be saved. I'm sorry. I cannot allow, because that's one of the problems in the church right now. People are allowing people to operate in certain positions, and they're not delivered. And all they're doing is spreading spirits, because I feel like I don't care how talented you are. A lot of people are on the keyboard, they're fornicating. You got people that smoke, they're on the praise team, they're shacking up, and they're doing all kind of things that's out the will of God. That is not God's will. For just because somebody's talented, you put them in certain positions. They need to be saved. Get them saved first. Wonder why the church is so divided, because you allowing all these different talents to come in here and take over, because they are talented, but they're not delivered, they're not saved. And I told them that's the same, the very conversation we had, and then we wonder why the church is so messed up today, because we have so many people in different positions, and that you allow these people to come in here because you want them to be a member, or you want them to be a part of your church, so you put them in. Even family members. I don't care if they're a family member.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her the same thing. If my son plays, but if my son ain't delivered, he's not going to be playing at the church. I'm sorry. Because all you're doing is different spirits in the church. You need to sit down, get yourself right, and then you can operate. How could you operate in the church and you living in the world at the same time? You can't do both.
No.
And I think that's
one of the problems in that these leaders, these pastors have. They allow everybody to come in and operate, and all they're doing is bringing in a bunch of different spirits all over the church. I'm not talking about just homosexual. I'm not talking about just lesbian. I'm talking about, because sin is sin to me. I don't care whether it's homosexual or you're not homosexual. You're still sinning. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
We point the finger at people we notice their sin, okay? But we don't point the finger at the ones that you don't notice. What about the hidden sins of people? What
That's
about
right.
the ones out here shacking and and sleeping with somebody's wife or somebody's husband. What about that one? We just focus on homosexuals because it's noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we don't need to do that. The Bible says, God said he hates sin, period. He didn't say a certain sin. So we bring up the question about Sodom and Gomorrah. What about the ones when, what about the whoremongers? What about, you know, that ain't the only sin in the Bible.
Yes.
Exactly. There's so much sin everywhere, and a lot of
it's sin everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm not condoning homosexuality, but what I'm saying is we get so focused on one thing in the church. Oh, he's gay, or she's gay, or this and that. What about when the pastor's sleeping with the secretary? Oh, so it's okay for him.
Oh, my God.
See, but isn't that judgment? No one is supposed to judge anyone. Because
yeah, you're not supposed to judge. That's what I'm saying. Just pray for them. But what I'm saying, they point the finger too much at certain people, this and that, that, that. That's why we should leave them alone and pray for them.
Exactly, because... No, and you're absolutely right, because no one understands the work of an evangelist. And if you're out, you're listening in, the work of an evangelist isn't an easy thing to define, because it's not like the work of an elder or a deacon in a church. It's more deep-rooted, because an evangelist can and must be clearly defined and understood. He or she must have the brotherhood and the leadership, the sisterhood, to properly understand who is really qualified for this work and the functions, because when God punches that button and it's your number to come up, he calls you and puts you in that pathway. So on a Christian system, it has to be a perfect system. And all of those that are doing all these negative things and saying that they're saved and they're not saved need to be changed. Mm-hmm. So I respect the work of an evangelist, because I know that you are qualified to do what God has asked you to do. I know that you're qualified because of the fact of your apostleship, you know, and all the things that you do. So I really give you an applaud and a high five for that, because it's not an easy job. It's not an easy job. And these people like you that are doing these things in the churches and they're doing these things, sleeping with each other, and they're going to have one other spirit force, our Almighty, our Father, our Daddy in heaven to answer to. So they have to really realize that you're going to have to pick up, straighten up, shape up. But you're going to be overlooked. And that's what I believe.
Amen.
Yeah, Anna?
Yes, I have another question. I'm telling you, I'm really, really enjoying this. I love to hear what other artists, evangelists, the body of Christ has to say, because nobody has all the answers. And so thank you so much for being our special guest on tonight. How do you go about when you have rehearsed with the group and whether you're going for a concert, a conference, and all of a sudden you get up there and the Holy Spirit changes?
I can tell you that would happen to me a lot. That happened to me so many times. I mean, because, you know, the Bible say, study to show thyself approved, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to change your message. You still need to study. It's the same thing as singing. You rehearse. Yes, you rehearse. You go to rehearsal. Y'all rehearse five songs that y'all gonna sing that particular night. But when you get up there, the atmosphere changes, not the song.
Yes.
Atmosphere. And sometimes you may have to go to a different worship song because of the atmosphere that's happening in the church. That, you know, people may come in and somebody might just break out and start crying out, and the Lord is delivering. He just starts singing a song that you rehearsed. You may have to go into something totally different. And God is taking you to worship now, because it's not about you. It's not about something that you rehearsed. And I've seen people do that. They say, "Well, I'm a sweat. Wrong. You wrong. Then you are worshiping yourself. Then you not. God is not getting the glory out of your life, because He's the star of the show, not you. You know. So that happens a lot. You may get up there, you may go to rehearsal and say, you know, we're going to sing whatever tonight. And Next thing you know, you're singing, "Thank you, Lord." It's all because of the atmosphere. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So what do you plan to do, Evangelist Mitchell, in the future? What are your goals and aspirations as far as being an evangelist? How far are you going to move forward, and what exactly are you going to do to help make the changes best as possible?
Well, as long as God is in the will, like it's all about the will of God. I can't plan any. I mean, you can write the vision and make it, but things change daily. You know that our life changes daily. So my plan, though, if I say I had a plan, is to go further and get deeper and rooted more grounded in God, so He could take me to the level that I need to go to reach the people. To reach to disciple people, to go out and bring in others. Because guess what? Some of our sisters and brothers are out there lost. We didn't find God. God found us.
Yeah.
He thought we'd never been lost. We was lost. He plucked us out the miry clay into the marvelous light. So it's up to us. He got to say He's saving us to save somebody else. He's delivering us for other people, because our sisters and brothers is out there on crack and drugs. Some of them was our sisters and brothers, you know. That person that you may walk by every day and turn your nose up against, I'm not saying you, but people do it, that may be your brother and sister that you turn your nose up to. And God is saying, no, I sent you by there. You walk by, but I allowed you to come in their pathway so you can minister. But what you do, you roll right on by.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, I've
let
got
somebody
one
else deal with them.
Exactly.
You know how we do.
I have a question, but I've got to identify the radio station. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Artist Loft with our special featured guest, Evangelist Penny Mitchell. This is your radio host, producer Gigi Adams-Evans, and, of course, my assistant co-host, Miss Anna Marie Holiday, also a recording artist, also in the church, also divine teacher, the laws of God. So I thank you all for joining us, and stay tuned. Please call in at 646-200-3817 if you'd like to speak with Evangelist Mitchell or one of the callers. So, and let us know how you're feeling. Send us some comments, send us some questions. You can tweet me at GG1015, and you can also email me at, well, it's a long email. I'll give it to you at the end of the show, but it's a very long email. But I did have this question before I go on to allow someone else to speak with you, Evangelist Mitchell, before we leave the show.
Okay.
Where are you in your spiritual pilgrimage?
Say that again. I didn't quite hear you.
Okay. Where are you in your spiritual pilgrimage? What are you searching for, and I guess basically, for lack of a better way of explaining it to you, the pilgrimage of your life. Where are you in that? What step?
Oh my God, I constantly seek God, because I said, Lord, I just want more of you. Right now, I feel in the stairway of heaven. I feel like I'm in the stairway, not in heaven,
yes.
But I feel like I'm getting ready to, you know what I mean? I'm just getting closer and closer to God, because and sometimes I sit and I say, you know what? I cry and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. And the reason why I say I'm sorry, because things that I could have, that I'm doing today, I should have did 30 years ago. But now I waited till I get more into near my latter days. I'm not old, but near my latter days, that I decided to say, okay, Lord, I surrender. I do this when I had more energy. You know, when I had more youth, what I'm saying. I wish I, you know, but now I feel so good. I'm like, good God. I mean, I was out there beating myself up, doing things out the will of God when I could have been more into the will of God 30 years ago. And I'd probably be a lot further than I am today. But I've wasted so much time.
And sometimes I say, Lord, if we could just take the clock back, Lord, I must.
Yes.
Well, we know
yes.
the time with no one, but although you have that, you should go forward, and that's the good thing about it, because whether you did it
yes.
back then or was, when is that you are doing it, and you are anointing many people's lives, you know, with your, even with this conversation tonight, I'm getting goosebumps because your voice does have a sort of energy for the person to want to talking to find out more, because that's the only way that we learn, you know, through
mm-hmm.
learning and understanding. And then, of course, having that commitment with God is the most important
mm-hmm.
thing. You've got to believe. You've got to have that faith, you know, because
yes.
like you said before, how do people ask you, how do you know you're talking to God? Faith and belief, to me, are those two answers because of the God is everywhere. So, you know, with everything happening in that spectrum, what else do you think that you would be able to give to the world as far as an individual and as an evangelist? Say, for instance, anything ever happened to you that was dramatic, personal, or spectacular enough to cause you to be certain that there is a God who is both infinite and personal in our
Well, I just pray to God that he can get the glory out of my life where I'll be able to touch people, many, many thousands of people. My goal is to, my prayer is to be on a bigger platform so I can be heard, not to be seen, but to be heard across the country, across the nation. That's my prayer. And because
Amen.
I feel like there's a, now I believe that we all have a certain people that we can reach. Now, you make her reach my daughter, and I might can't reach her. But the Bible says the prayers of the righteous avail much. And
Amen.
He said, you know, so that don't mean, see, some. Now, my son didn't get saved under me. He got saved under Reverend Shambach many years ago when he was about 9 years old. He backslid, but he went back to God. So what I'm saying, sometimes we not, God put people in our pathway we can reach. I think we all have an assignment, assigned people that we assign to reach. We're not going to reach everybody, but I believe that we have assigned people. We have an assignment that God sent us on to reach certain people in certain countries, in certain areas in our life, you know, across the country. Now, you make a reach Africa, and I make a reach Mississippi. I'm just using that for example, you know. It's
right.
just like the president race. Some presidents win some states and some don't. So that's the same with ministry. That's the same with the ministry that's on our life.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Well, I'm going to turn the mic over to Anna.
Thank you. Evangelist, again, thank you so much for joining us on today. I'm so much appreciating the words of wisdom. And may God bless you even more in your ladder. May your ladder be greater. My question is, do you ever mentor anyone in concerning like singing or vocals, and have you? Or and if you have, is there a certain commitment that you will have them to give to you before you take that, you know, before you take that on?
Well, I have directed a lot of choirs, and I have ran praise teams over the years. I have directed many, many choirs over the years. I have praise teams, and I have trained voices in the past. So, I always mentor them, like, I always talk to them before I just start, because I need to know where they're at mentally. Because you can sing all day, but if your mental status is not there, if your mind is not really on singing, then you can't make anybody sing, even if they're talented. So you have to make sure mentally they're there to sing. They want to sing. This is what they want to do. you know, so it's not going to be affected, even in the body of Christ. You know, they have to have that zeal to say, you know what, I want to be a singer. I want to sing for God. Else, you know. So, yes, I do mentor people, but I do it in a way where I'm like a mother figure, even if they're older than me. So, you know.
I do have another question. I'm sorry, Miss Gigi.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I was just saying amen. That's wonderful.
Amen. I hope that I'm using the right terminology. Have you or do you move in the prophetic singing? And has God given you a song specifically for a person, a new song that you have never birthed out until that time while you're in the midst? All of a sudden the anointing might fall on you and you know that that song is for that group or for that person.
Yes, definitely. Yes, 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 yes. Many times when I'm up preaching, my son get upset at me sometimes when he's playing for me. I just start singing a song he just made up and just come out. And he's like, Mom, where you get that? I'm like, I just said, just play. See, that's why I need musicians that's going to be in the prophetic with me, that's going to follow the anointing, that's going to catch on to my anointing, because what happens is when they're not, I'm trying to find a word for it, when they're not mentally connected, spiritually, what should I say, connected to what's connected to God and you, and they're playing for you, then it's going to be very difficult, because you have to have a musician that's on target, on target with you. They got to be there. They got to be right there, because they won't catch on, you know. So yes, I have done that in the past. I have just made up a song in the middle of the service, or in the middle of. Even if somebody called me up to do a solo, I may the Lord just take me in worship, and I may just tell the musician to start playing, and whatever he plays, I just go up and worship. Yeah, you can do that, because the Bible says, sing unto me a new song. So sometimes God just give us a song, so it doesn't have to be on the radio or something, you know. Like you said, singing the prophetic, yes, yes, definitely.
Yes.
And
then
thank you. Back to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna, so much. Evangelist, I'd like to know, when did you start training to become an evangelist? And I know that you said you were anointed by reading your bio when you were touching God, changed your life forever, and you decided to devote yourself with God. What made you want to become an evangelist, and how long did it take you to study for what you do now?
Well, I think when I really started ministering as far as evangelist, I think I started at a very early age. Singing kind of make you preach a little bit. I don't know if you know that, but a lot of time when you're ministering through song, you're really evangelizing through song. And that kind of, I kind of knew out at a very early age that God was calling me to preach. I was afraid to tell anybody, because, you know, the first thing people say, uh-oh, here we go again. Somebody, and they start judging you before you can get it out. So I held it for a long time until it was prophesied over me for so many years. People was calling me out of nowhere, just, oh, the Lord is calling you to preach. And I ran. I didn't even want to preach. I knew I was supposed to preach, but I was afraid. You know, I was afraid to just say, you know what, I'm not going to preach because they're going to judge me. I was so worried about people and not God. I wasn't doing what God told me. I was trying to please people. And until God actually delivered me from people, that's when I came out. So you know what, I surrender, Lord. I'll go. That's when I'll go. I sung I'll Go many, many years ago, that song, but I just never recorded it. And that's when I said, you know what, Lord, I surrender. I don't care what people say. I'm going to do what you say, dude, because I was going through living hell because I wasn't doing what God was telling me to do. And I began to study the word. I began to study. I went to my pastor and I said, you know what, I believe the Lord is calling me to ministry. He said, go forth. And when he told me that, it was like something quickening my spirit because I was afraid he was going to say, no, don't go out there. He told me to go forth. He said, go forth, daughter. He said, I do believe that God is calling you. And he saw it in me. He said, I was waiting for you. Because every time I sang, I started preaching. I couldn't stop. It was like coming out. You know, I would start a song, and next thing I know, I'm preaching. I'm like, where'd that come from, you know? And it was just in me. So I just said, wow. So I just said, you know what, I surrender. Lord, I'll go. Send me. I'll go. You know, so.
Yes, and you can, I can tell, and I'm sure that everyone that's listening in that either knows you or can listen to your voice, like I said before, you have that voice that's electrifying, and you make people want to listen to what you have to say. You can tell that you speak a lot because of the anointing in your voice. Also, mm-hmm. you know, it's just your energy, your spirit, you know, that I'm feeling myself to make a difference, you know, in the lives of people that are even in your presence. They don't have to be sitting next to you or anything like that. And I really thank you, and I ask God to continue to bless you in things that you're doing and for mm-hmm. humankind. But I'd like to ask you a question, too, about unchurched people. You know, you got so many people in the world. People don't vote, but they have people that don't vote for, like, the presidency and stuff like that. They always have a comment or something to say as if everybody's voices matter. But really, okay, unchurched people don't always share the same propositions, you know, about certain things. But they assume that they know everything about the Bible. What do you have to say about that? You know, you don't go to church, you don't study the Bible, but you know more than the person that studies the Bible. How would you answer that? I mean, how would you address that?
I live with people like that. I live with people that don't go to church, but they know the Bible more than I do, and they talk about the Bible, but they don't go. And I think what's happening, and I had a conversation with them a couple of weeks ago about that. We was all sitting in the kitchen, my sister and her husband, and we was all sitting in the kitchen, and, you know, because we live in a real big house, and we live in a fabulous neighborhood, millionaire people, you know, they're good people, they you know. But we had a conversation. I kind of lured them into talking about the Lord. You know, I don't want to pressure it because I don't want any. And my sister, she was in the church. She's my God sister, but she was in the church. And she was in some Church of God in Christ. Her husband went to Bible college, and they went distance. But they know the church. They went to church. They was in the church. Her mom was a missionary in the church, and her sister was evangelist. So they know church, but something made them change, stop going. I try to do it in a nice way. Like, kind of lowered the question, and then she spoke down and said, you know why I stopped going to church? Or so fake. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of stopped me in my tracks. Because I like to have conversations with the unchurched, like you say, because I want to know why they don't go. I mean, I want to write a book on that. Actually, I would like to write a book and interview people that love the Lord, but they just don't go to the church.
I want to know why.
What have changed their mind? And they literally sit and blame the preacher.
Yeah.
And it's really not the preacher's fault. You can't blame the preacher. Because we all got to see God for ourselves. You cannot fault, even though we know that the preacher do things, but you cannot say, I don't go to church because of somebody else. You got to work out your own soul salvation. We all got to see God for ourselves.
Go ahead. I was just going to say the importance of prayer, including in that, is very important because people, they don't understand the power of prayer. I've listened to people pray. I grew up in the church myself, so I know that the power of prayer is a most honorable thing, you know, for those that believe in God. And for those that don't, you know, my advice to you is maybe you need to seek the kingdom of God so you can know who he is and to know that your life can be a whole lot better. But then that's my opinion, you know, and everybody has a right to their opinion. But what bothers me the most is that when I go to church and I see, you know, at fellowshipping, okay, for instance, at fellowshipping, why is it that, and this really bothers me a lot, because you have so many people that are in church and all of them are praising God at the same time you're praising God. Everybody's listening to the sermon. But at fellowshipping, put your hand out to them to shake their hand and they ignore you. Is that is that something, is this something new? Because I'm like, is it my breath? Is it my hair? Maybe something that's not right about me. So making a joke about it, I reach out again. They just turn their backs on you. What is wrong with that picture?
Exactly. Well, you know what? Apostle Goodman is on the line. I would like her to kind of elaborate on that because she's an apostle. She can kind of elaborate. Apostle Goodman, can you help me out on that one?
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord to the women of God. You know, one thing I can say is that sometimes people don't have that personal relationship as though they think they have that. You know, it's not as deep or deeply rooted in them, because when you have that relationship, you love everybody, first of all, because the love of God is in your heart. And whenever you pass a person and they give you a smile, you can at least give them a smile back.
Right.
You know, if they reach out and shake your hand, you can at least shake their hands, you know. This is the love of Christ that's on the inside of us, and the light of God shines from within to outwardly. And so we have to have that commitment of the one-on-one fellowship with him personally and allow him to penetrate, glory to God. And then once he gets deeply within us and we have released all the everything within us to him, because sometimes there's still hidden things within us that we haven't totally released from the Lord. So we don't really have a total deliverance, amen, because there's something there that's still that's within us that we just did not let go. Because when Christ come in, everything else has to go out. When he come in totally, amen. And there's nothing to obstruct the spirit of the living God from penetrating. My God, we're supposed to be like little Jesuses. Amen. We're supposed to be operating like him. The love of Christ is in us, and the love of Christ that is in us shines on the outside. And when you meet me, you're supposed to be able to meet the love of God that's in me. Amen. So a lot of times we have to wind up, and instead of talking about that person, which we wind up doing because we're not total deliverance, we'll go and say, you see that so-and-so? Or did you see her turn her head? Or did you see her roll her eyes? She's just short. That much short of having Christ totally on the inside. And so our job is, those of us that have been totally delivered, is to pray for that person.
Exactly. Alan, you have a question? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Apostle, for that feedback. Very enlightened. Evangelist, being that you are a woman of God with many hats that I see that you wear, when it is time for you to be in front of the people, whether you're evangelizing or you're getting ready to sing, or you're getting ready to bring forth the word of God, minister, and there's a spirit that you could feel the sickness, how do you go about at that time to change the atmosphere, just really keeping it real? I know that sometimes, you know, after having a long day on the outside, and when you come in and you're thinking, okay, I'm coming to church, I want to be able to praise him and worship him in freedom, you understand it. Guess what? Now I have to do something else without just saying, not tonight. I'm not going to fight. I'm just going to sing the song and go sit down with minister. How do you move past that point of the flesh to break through to, you know, where God wants you to go?
I go right in there. I'm going to tell you what I do. I do that a lot, believe it or not. I pick up a spirit when I walk in. Sometimes you pick it up, you know, but you got to rebuke it. Sometimes you just got to rebuke certain spirits around you. You know people got attitudes. People come. And sometimes even when you leave home, something that may have happened at home and you get in the car, you don't feel right. But like, you know what I do when I get to the church? I pray before I get to the church. I always pray. But I start singing like I ain't got no sense. I break out and then I start, my soul says, yeah. You know, I may break out with a song and I release that spirit. I said, the devil is a lie. I get it off me.
Amen. Amen.
I just start singing like no tomorrow. And then I can feel everybody feel it. That's right. I don't allow stuff to get on me, you know, because if you got to get it off you, and you're not so holy that stuff can't attack you now. Yes. Anybody, the devil is a liar. Anybody that feel like, oh, I'm the holy, the devil is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. That's why the Bible, you know, when Job was going through, you know, Job went through a lot, and I always talk about Job because Job went through, but God allowed it.
Yes.
You know, God the one that gave the devil permission.
That's right.
Go ahead. Do whatever you want, as long as you don't touch his soul. So,
exactly.
You know, there's times the enemy would attack us, you know, so even with certain spirits around us. And you know, but you got to start praying. You got to start praying, and I, me, myself, like I said, I just sing. I just break out with a crazy song.
Yeah, thank
you. Back
to Gigi. All right, thank you. That was a great question. Great answer, too, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, a brief pause here for a moment. It's 8:17 in the hour here in my neck of the woods in Georgia. It was really raining last night, very hard. And now today is a beautiful day, and they're talking about storm. And then, of course, y'all's president is up and about. about the world.
I know that you said y'all.
Boy, God allows.
I know that you said y'all, President.
Our president is up and about moving around with that Bigly personality. He has it, Bigly. But anyway, both of you, Evangelist Goodham, is that right? Or Goodham? I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Goodman.
I'm sorry. Okay, and Evangelist, too. This is a two-part question for both of you guys on the air. What motivated you the most in your life to fully invite Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior? Anybody can jump in.
Well, bless God. I as well grew up in a Christian home, and I had a pastor that came from White Plains, New York, by the name of Apostle Johnny Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to a little town called Goldsboro, North Carolina. And he was, I tell you, a man of God. And I began to see the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, something I had never, ever seen before in my life. And I began to look at the life of the man of God that walked through this little city and turned this city upside down, and all the young people. Glory to God. He began to bring the church in to a little tiny church. One lady had just a little group of children, and he began to come from White Plains every summer, and he began to have revival there and set up tents. Glory to God. And children just began to come in, and he began to teach those children. And we had a little girl that they used to lead the choir for Apostle John Washington, and this child had died, and he prayed for this child, and she came back to life, and she lived, and she led a 250 voice choir. And just walking and going through the revivals every year and every night to the week that he would come, and just something began to fire up on the inside of me, and I began to want what I was seeing. And I began to see blind eyes open and deaf ears open and short legs, one short leg grow out to the length of the full leg. And just something in me, glory to God, just wanted that. And I made up my mind even as a child, this is what I want. though there was interference along the way. But at that particular time, I made up my mind that I wanted to live for the Lord. And I tell you, I did everything that was right. Glory to God. But God allowed me to come forth. And today, I'm just so glad about it.
And you know, you can hear it in your voice that you are truly anointed child of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it in both of your voices, including Anna's as well, because, I mean, I'm among some of the top 10, I think, of the queens from God's garden, so to speak, because, I mean, y'all make me feel really good to hear all the things that you've done, the anointment, and just like with Evangelist Goodman, how she was talking about that anointing, how she invited Christ to be in her life with this little girl. And it's so wonderful to have you ladies to just be who you are. I mean, that everybody can't do this, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to be called, and you've got to be ready for that call because of the fact that, yes, you have to learn how to win souls and to change them over. And if you need to really talk to Evangelist Mitchell, you can reach her at 980-414-9480. And Evangelist Goodman, would you like to give out your number just in case for references while we're on the air?
Sure. My number is 240-305-3508.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This has been, I mean, you guys can jump in and let us know what else you'd like to have. You can give your shout-outs now because we got about maybe 8 more minutes into it, but go ahead and give your shout-outs and give a little preaching here if you want to the masses and let people know exactly how they can. Come on now, y'all. Yes. Got to bring it.
Bless God. I would like to say to those that are listening, praise God, I had a stroke back in 2006, and I've been on the walker, I've been in the wheelchair, I was on a cane, and I was, you know, went through everything that a person that was sick could go through, but I blessed God because God brought me back. It wasn't time for me to leave, hallelujah, but he turned it around. So now when people see me, they say, you don't look like anything has ever happened to you, but it's because of Christ, the Christ that liveth within me. And I bless the Lord for that, amen, that I can be a living witness and let somebody know that Jesus is Lord. And there's nothing that God can't do. And what he do for one, he'll do for another, glory to God. And he is a healer and he is a deliverer, and he comes to set the captive free.
Yes. Amen. We got some church up ahead tonight. All right, Evangelist Mitchell, bring it on now.
Yes, I thank God because what inspired me to really, get in, my grandmother was my inspiration. And the reason why I say that because she raised me up until I was a certain age. But then when she came up to New York, my mom, she got a place and I ended up moving back with her when I was about 7 or 8 years old. So she kind of raised me up until I was about 16, I would say. And then I moved back with my mom. And then, but then after a while she passed when I got in my 30s. She went on to be with the Lord. But I would say my grandmother was such a great inspiration. She was a woman of God. Everybody loved her. The neighborhood, she cooked for everybody. She fed everybody that came to her house. One thing, you can go to her house and you gonna find a pot of beans and some neck bones. She always loved to cook cornbread and some neck bones and some rice and some beans on the stove. You ain't gonna be hungry when you walk in that door. You gonna have some food. That's the way she was. But I just thank God for her because she instilled so much in me. You know, she told me about boys. She told me don't mess with this boy and don't. But, we all, when we get a certain age, we think we know everything, and we go out there and we, but I thank God that I was able to come back. I thank God that while I was out there, he kept me. He covered me with his blood. And I thank God, and through it all, I thank God, the woman I am today is because of my grandmother's inspiration, the way she raised me and the way she taught me, and she, you know, encouraged me. She loved me, and I thank God for her, because if it wasn't for her, I tell you, I don't know where I'd be. I thank God that she instilled inspiration in my spirit. She instilled a lot in me about God, because I didn't know who God was, but she introduced me to Christ, you know, and I thank God for her. So she was my inspiration, and she's the reason why I'm who I am today, because of her. Yes.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask my talented co-host, Anna, what inspired you?
What inspired me is, again, it goes back to the, you know, the olden days. You didn't have a choice. If your mother went to church, you went to church. If your
That's
mother
right.
prayed, you prayed. If your mother fast, you fast. And it was, you know, those were the days when we had revival. And I don't know if revival is any revivals anymore. When you stayed in church all night and you prayed all night. And if you fell asleep at church, in church, your ears got pulled in. But see, those are the things that consecrated me to have a relationship with the Lord. And so when I got older, I continued in that same way because I began to know him as a young child for myself. So that's what inspired me. And I just want to say to the apostle, thank you so much for being on tonight. I am blessed by your testimony. Looks like you went through some stuff. Your test that you went through, and now you have a testimony. So I am honored to hear your testimony. And our special guest, featured guest, Avantis, I appreciate you. Some plant, some water, but I know that God does the increase. So I'm excited that you're opening back up your church, and I'll be praying for you. And a special shout-out to PJ, which is also a host, and Miss Gigi, as always, thank you so much for allowing us to do this and to express what God has given us. Back to you, Miss Gigi.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and yes, thank you, Jesus Apostle. Thank you, Apostle, and thank you, Evangelist Penny, for being here, and for you, Apostle, for having the stroke coming on you and then it's going away from you. That's nothing but the arms and the love, the blood of Jesus is working through you and keeping you going because you got stuff to do. You've got paths to travel. You got a lot of stuff to give out to those who are in need of listening to that ear. Because even though we all have our lifelong struggles in life, there's one thing that we can all have, that's God, that's Christ in our lives, and to be able to give it to the world. I really commend both of you because this has been a wonderful, wonderful, a bond of love here. And, oh, my God, I'm just tingling on the inside because I have so much inspiration. I have so much love for all of you ladies here. And I don't have to know you to love you because I love you to the love of my
Thank you for having me. I'm honored. I'm grateful, and thank you for having us on. I called my apostle, and she came right on. And I just thank you for inviting me. I'm so appreciative, believe me. I'm in tears.
Thank you.
I thank you so much for having me. Thank God that you saw that within me to invite me on your show. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, Evangelist Mitchell.
Amen.
Yeah. We have and beautiful Anna. She is always. I really appreciate her for coming through for me. For PJ was not able to be here tonight, and I have a very special something that I would like to play for the show for, and I played again last week. It's PJ's mom, and this is called Words. And if you'd like to stay on to listen to it, I'd appreciate it. But I would love for you ladies to come back and to have another interview with us and to let us know what's happening in your lives and what's going on and helping us to help to bring these young adults into a fruition of a positiveness because they're going on the wayside fast as we speak. So I'd like
whenever
to
let us know. We'll be glad to come on. We invite some more people. Let us know.
All right, bring some more people and let's have a discussion. You know about about the world and all the things and life changes that we need to do to help our youth, because they're our future. They're our future,
Amen.
And we need to keep them going. So I'm going to go ahead and close out now. Thank you again, Anna, Evangelist and Apostle, for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to The Artist Loft. This is your radio host, Gigi Adams-Evans, with my assistant co-host, Ms. Anna Holiday, a recording artist and our own writer, teacher, a lover of Christ, a woman that's moving forward as we all are in this day and time. So thank you all for being here. And this is called Words. And the station will sign off after the poem has been read. So good night, ladies, and have a blessed night.
God bless
you. Good night, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Words. Words are most important because the first thing you heard, they were spoken to you. Words in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God spoke and said, let there be words. As a child, what do you remember most? The sound of your mother's voice? Words. What does a parent try to encourage intensely? She listens for her baby to say words. What is your name? A word. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Words. Wars are started because of words. Your commitment is made to God with words. A marriage is consummated with words. Love and hate, two small words, yet two of the most powerful words. The Word of God said, let the weak say, I am strong. Words. The greatest deceiver used words to deceive Eve and used words to tempt the Word. If words carry life or death, how careless are you handling them? Think how important your words are in your confession of faith, even in how you go through the day. If God was not a man of his word, where would we be today? What hope would we have? My words uplift when spoken in love. They cast down when spoken with guile. Words can set free or bound, as if I give you all, give you, or I shall never forgive you. Words can bring exceeding great joy or utter despair. Our words can utterly change our life. Yes, Lord, oh, how small the phrase, but oh, so awesome when said from the heart. Words, I'm saved, and even greater the joy when words that man cannot understand flow from their lips, the unknown tongues, words. People die. Worlds crumble, but words live on. There are many books in the world, more than you and I could ever read, but there is just one word that can change the course of life, the word God calls his son. For this word was with God, and this word was made flesh and dwelt among men, and now this word abides in me, you, and all believers. And when we speak, we should be saying, and this said the Lord. We use letters for words, but God used words to form worlds. We communicate through the movement of the hand, shuffle of the body, the wink of the eye, a mild nod of the head, and yes, even with a pat on the back. But nothing is more profound than the spoken word. What can be any greater than a word spoken by a person waking up out of a coma, or forming words by a stroke patient? Words can be hid away and yet kept. Thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Words, I can meditate, I can ponder, but there is nothing more satisfying than crying out before God. Help me, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Word. And in the end, what will be the words we hear? Well done, or I know you're not. Terror or joy, word. God spoke to me, and he said, don't confess nothing you don't want. So I admonish you to be careful with your words.
Amen. And I'd like to say amen. That was a beautiful song by Miss Willie Mae Sampson. And we do have words, and those words are very meaningful. And this lady is a very awesome soldier in God's army. So I'd like to say hello, Miss Mae, and I hope that you're doing well, along with PJ as well. So thank you, ladies, and we're going to sign off tonight, and may you all have a wonderful evening. Good night.